So we're going to be in a new series for the next month, bringing Jesus into focus, bringing Jesus into focus. And so each time we do that, we'll have bringing Jesus into focus. Jesus is today, he's our hope. Next Sunday, peace, and then joy, and then Jesus is our love, is love. So we're going to head and start with scripture today from Isaiah 41 through 11. I will go ahead and read if you can stand with me while we read God's word. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, a voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a might, and with him his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this prophecy. Thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that we do well with it today. Allow us to have ears to hear, Lord, and a chance to hear what you have through our living hope today. We love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And what we just read there is called a messianic prophecy. In other words, it's a preparation for the coming Messiah, and typically that is read for us as we prepare the way. But man, what hope there is to stand on the word of God. So that's going to be our scripture today that we'll navigate through, but we're not going to hit that on every one of our references. It's more than just preparation, especially when we look to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the season of Advent that we celebrate these next 4 weeks. But what God is saying here, I'll paraphrase, what God is saying here is listen. Listen and trust me. I make a way through any struggles you have. Any walls that you have been built up, he says, I can overcome them. And I can do that. And you can too with the hope. And his name is Jesus. The term Advent is Latin and Adventus. It means coming. Time of year, we do two things in church. We celebrate, we look back to the wondrous birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look ahead to his glorious return. One of the challenges we face during this Advent, Christmas season, is to distinguish between these emotional feelings that we get as a society and a culture today, especially with this time of year. Christmas has become a time of year where we stir up that what's called getting that Christmas spirit. I mean, the Hallmark Channel had 40 new Christmas shows just this year alone. And everybody shakes their head. I know. I'll give you my man card, Don Smith, but listen, guilty pleasure. I love Hallmark movies. I know. I need a ride home after the service. But listen, they actually started playing those back in October. Why? So we would get in that Christmas spirit. And actually, sometimes they want us to take a chance on our emotions. But in all seriousness, these emotions that we have from these TV shows and the Christmas spirit, they can be flipped on and off. And this month, we're going to pull the focus away from turning these emotions off and on to bring Jesus into focus, something that can never be turned off. We'll bring him into focus through hope, through peace, through joy, and through love. We look at Christmas this year, my prayer is that we see the hope. We see the hope of God's glorious future. And I pray that as we navigate through this scripture, that today, this year, is a little bit different. That this message is something that's just a little bit different. That you catch something that's just a little bit different. So that we can experience just a glimpse of that reality that changes everything, not just for this season, but our life. So hope. Hope, as you see, is the focus of this week. And as we look at the word hope, it has the power to take us from a place of despair or sadness and sometimes misery to joy. And it has the power to make us make the tediousness of life something that we can overcome and make an ordinary life extraordinary. It has the power to change our lives and it has the power to change a struggling culture if we would just listen to how to get the hope. The world places a lot of hope in the wrong things. We place our hope in the temporal things and not the eternal things. We put our hope in humanity, and people will always disappoint. We put our hope in sports teams, some of us more than others. And many times we put our hope in celebrities people will never meet. But we as believers know that Jesus Christ is our hope. And he is our hope to overcome sins, to overcome our choices, to overcome that worry, to overcome that anxiety, that aloneness. He is the absolute central figure in the Bible, and he is our only hope for eternity. Amen? Amen. The fact that our hope should give great comfort to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And John, or Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verses 1 through 3, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places," or "in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, and I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Man, what a promise. Someday he will come, and he will return and gather his faithful. And that is the hope that we have as we live our life. That is the hope that we need to have as we approach this Christmas Advent season. What a gift, what a blessing it is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over these next 4 weeks, our goal, well, how we can bring Jesus into focus. You know, when you're out in the field or you're somewhere in an event, you use binoculars to bring things into focus. When you place them up to your eyes, it takes a little bit of navigating. But once you bring that picture, what you are seeking, into clarity, pop, man, it is such an incredible vision. There's no blur lines. There's nothing around there that you can't tell. When you bring that vision into clarity, there's no confusion of where you are and what you're looking at. And that's going to take us this week or this month into what hope is. Is knowing that there are no blurred lines with Jesus Christ. He is our focus. As we read in Isaiah, and we know that John the Baptist is the one who's preparing the way. In other words, he says, "Open up a way and make room for the king. Make room for the hope of a new situation, a new reality." And we're in that position today. In your hearts and in your lives, we need to make room for that Savior. Not add the Savior to our lives, but move something out and bring Jesus in. So let's take a look at what hope looks like this season for you. It'll be very heavy towards the front, and we'll finish up a little bit lighter. But the first outline is hope is acquired, not activated. Hope is acquired, not activated. Before I get there, there's a Proverbs 23:7, and it says this: "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." Why would I start there? "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." What this doesn't do is support a sense. What this doesn't do is prove an emotion or a self-confidence or a positive thinking. It doesn't say, hey, think if you're rich. Think if you're rich, you'll be rich. Think if you're poor, you'll be poor. But what this says, as far as a man thinks within himself, so he is. As you think in your heart, so you are. As you thinketh in your heart, so you are. But why reference this verse? This is the point of the verse. Outward actions, those things that people see, those things people see can be very deceiving. The emotions that we portray may not always be on point. We may not always be in our A game when people see us. They can sometimes be the result of someone else's emotions towards us, or another's heart determines what we're like. The world tells you that hope is based on the activation of your emotions, but that's far from the truth. Because to activate something means you have to have a type of reaction. And a relationship with Jesus Christ is not a reaction. A relationship with Jesus Christ is a response. Amen? So biblical hope is an acquired state, and it's developed. It's not activated by your emotions. It's not a feeling you can turn off and on. It lives and it resides in your heart. Sure, there are times that our hope may produce happiness, may produce the feelings of joy. But if we put hope determinant on activation and not an acquisition, it leans more towards an impulse. It's a reaction within our life. And we do this when we place our hope into feelings, and it seems to reduce the amount of optimism that we have. It's totally based on our mood. We're going to dig a little deeper. Hang on. Let's say that hope is a portion or part of our plate of faith. What is it? I mean, we just probably filled a lot of plates up these past couple of days, right? If we could have our plate of faith, hope needs to be a big old serving. Faith and hope are mutual realities. I believe that our hope is the result of our faithfulness. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by word of God. This implies that our hope and how we acquire hope is strengthened by reading God's word. Would you agree with that? So the essence of what we look to in God's word to acquire our hope is a question that we must ask ourselves, church. How is your focus on Jesus today? I want you to think about that. How is your focus on Jesus today? And am I modeling that for my family today? Do people see Jesus in me? As I look to the many sounds and happenings of December, do I have the clarity of what it means to truly celebrate? What has he done for me in my state of sinfulness that allows me to know that all the things in my life are working together for my good? And the hope that we have acquired is that Christ died for me. He rose again for me. And therefore, my hope resides in my heart and does not need a switch to be turned on based on my circumstances, but an inward look at accepting the hope of Jesus Christ. So let's look away from the circumstances that confront us. Let's look to Christ. Let's hold fast to that acquisition, not the flip of a switch. Let me bring this into medical terms. You're going, geez, here he goes with this medical stuff. I only know a few of you are medical people, so I could get this wrong and still walk away thinking it's right. But it's right. And Dr. Jim Anderson, you can help me out with this. Our brains are incredibly complex. We can sift through billions and billions of data points every second, every minute, every day. And somehow, in a miraculous way, we have got to organize all that in our brain. In order to do that, students, listen to me. In order to do that, there's something called the reticular activating system, the RAS, the reticular activating system. And what this activating system is a bundle of nerves. And this bundle of nerves is at the base of your brain, at your brainstem. And what this does is it filters out unnecessary information that gets to your brain. So it's a filter. The system is the reason that we learn new words. And then all of a sudden we start hearing them everywhere. It's why you can tune out an entire crowd, but when your child says mom or dad, you know that voice right away. It's the reason that when you buy a car that you think nobody else has, all of a sudden you see it driving down the road, right? That's the reticular activating system. What happens is your brain takes what you focus on, it creates a filter for it, and then it sifts the data, and it presents only pieces that are important to you. This happens without you even know that the process is taking place. So, Chuck, what are you getting at? That makes no sense to me. In the same way, this activating system, okay, this reticular activating system is acquiring information that validates your beliefs. So what's happening is that if you believe, if you hear this whole bunch of information, you're going to filter on exactly what you choose to believe. It filters the world through the parameters and through the beliefs that you give it and you acquire it over time. If you think you're bad at speeches, well, you're going to be bad. If you think you're good and you work efficiently, you probably will. What happens is it influences your actions. All right, Chuck, I'm still lost. What does this mean? This means that I have to continually refocus and remind my brain what matters most. This activating system that my body is so accustomed to, this system that I have grown to set all my emotions into, must be a filter. And this activating system must be a filter that now acquires those things that would become part of my life. The acquisition of hope, meaning just a little more than it has been filtered, through that bundle of nerves that we all place ourselves in during this time of season, right? Gives us a new mindset. So it's turning this activating of emotions off to the acquisition of that which is important to us. And that's acquiring our hope in Jesus Christ. So hope is acquired. It's not activated. Second part, hope is certainty, not a contingency. Hope is certainty, not a contingency. Look, contingency relates to a circumstance which is possible but cannot be predicted with certainty. Example, passing the test that you guys go through in school is contingent upon the amount of studying you give it, right? If you study. Buying a new house may be contingent upon the selling of your home. So in other words, there is another needed variable to make something happen. And as we look at hope today, it needs no other variable. Hope is certain. Hope is reliably true, and it is a fact that's taken place as we have to come celebrate this Christmas season today. Example, warranties. Warranties for your car or for any other home product, health insurance, homeowners policies are just a few things that show that we live a world of uncertainty. You're offered warranties to predict maybe that you bought a crummy product. You're offered homeowners insurance because there's a high chance that the things in your home will be damaged. You get health insurance because there's a high chance that you may not be healthy the rest of your life. There's uncertainty. And I believe we all agree that we live in a very uncertain world. We always hear that. These times are so uncertain. They're so unstable. We wrestle with the uncertainties that we face, especially when we watch the news. We hear the stories that Marty shared, or we scroll through the thread of our social media. However, one thing that we know that's not uncertain, that holds absolute certainties, is the Word of God. The future and the unknown can sometimes be scary if we place our focus on the uncertainties. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? Who knows what tomorrow may bring tomorrow night, next week, even later today? Our life may be filled with uncertainties, but we have to filter to make sure that we're acquiring and we know what is certain. And our certainty is based on our faith in Jesus Christ. The future, while uncertain, can be entrusted to God, and he will help us through these uncertainties. In verse 5 in Isaiah, we read, "And the glory and the majesty and the splendor of the Lord will be revealed." There's no contingency placed on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's pure certainty. And there's a little verse in Hosea 6:3 that we rarely go to Hosea. If I ask you to turn to Hosea, it may take just a little longer than usual. Hosea 6:3 says this, "So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. And he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." If we're going to make progress in our goal of knowing the Lord, and understanding that he is our hope, that he is our source of hope, we're going to have to commit our lives to Scripture. We're going to have to strive. We're going to have to give him the time that takes to know our Lord and our God. In the same way, then, God says this through these verses. Look, if you dedicate yourself to seeking me, if you press on, you don't have to wonder if I'll meet you. He says, I will. You may not know when or what capacity, but as certain as the spring rains, as certain as the sun will rise tomorrow, if you seek God, you will find him. It's not dependent. It's not contingent on your emotions for that day or our mood, our situation. Our hope is certain in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1. We know that verse well. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, right? And the evidence of and the certainty of things not yet seen. In John 4, verse 13 and 14, John's speaking to the Samaritan woman. He said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. There's no contingency when it comes to our hope in Jesus Christ. You will never thirst again. Not when you drink this water, this living water, plus do this or that. You will be certain that you will never thirst again, period. And finally, hope is the promise, not a potential. Hope is a promise, not a potential. Here's what we need to bring this to a close. The hope that we're talking about today, it's the promise. It is the promise. Hoping is not dreaming about what may be, but knowing that it will be. Hope is knowing that God will do what he says he's going to do. Hope is living on the promises of God while maintaining your focus on Jesus Christ. It's a great couple of verses in 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 11 through 13. And John writes, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And he says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Man, what a promise that is. What a testimony that is about his Son, Jesus. The totality of this scripture is that God has given to man the things that we are unable to do on our own. And that's eternal life. Not life as extended, but life as endless. A life that is abundant, a life that's exciting, a life that is meaningful, a life that is relevant, or any term to affirm that promise. He who has the Son has life. He who has the hope has life. The whole point of John's letter is about Jesus. So why pull this into the promise of hope? Because in verse 7 that we just read, it says, but the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever. And it finishes with, he will protect his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them and lead them. Hope as we know it is not a potential. Hope as we know it is the promise. The message of Christmas is this. No matter the valley, no matter the brokenness that we may feel, no matter the challenges that we face and that we will face over these next several weeks, we're not alone. We are not alone. Jesus has come, and we begin the season with the hope. Christmas is not just about the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is the person of Jesus Christ. This is where hope is found. This is where hope is acquired. This is where hope is promised. And this is where hope is certain. In order to have this hope, we must take our lens of life, our binoculars of life, and focus onto the person of Jesus Christ. For he is the good news that's being announced. The good news is that our King has come to rescue us. We must see him for who he is, what he has done, and the promises of a new hope that he brings us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord. May we take it and acquire it, Lord. May we not use it to satisfy our emotions. May we realize that hope is in your Son, Jesus. And through relationship with him, Lord, we lay down our struggles, we lay down our burdens, and we look to you, Lord. So allow us to take away something a little different today. Allow us to know, Father, that you're going to meet us exactly where we are. And as we stand on the truth, as we stand on the word of God, you will provide that hope in time of need. We love you. We thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be down front to receive any of you who would like prayer today as we approach the December, as we're here in December. If you'd like to pray, we'd like to join you in prayer. Come down and offer things to the cross. If today is a day that you'd like to make Shiloh Baptist Church your family, we'd love to welcome you as well. Maybe today is a day you make a decision for Christ. Let us welcome you into another family, a bigger family. Won't you come today?
There's a place.